Bienvenidos a Cosmer 16, un programa dedicado a la obra de Brandon Sanderson, y en especial al Cosmer, claro. Y hoy tenemos aquí pues a Johnny O'Neill, y también tenemos a Mario, que ya lo conocéis, que estará haciendo la traducción. Johnny O'Neill creo que no hace falta que le presentemos, pero es uno de los CEOs de Brotherwise, la empresa que se dedica a hacer los juegos del Cosmer, entre otras cosas. Así que, hello Johnny, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here with us. Really happy. Lo primero que me gustaría hacer es felicitar a Johnny y a Brotherwise porque el recientemente publicado juego de cartas de Mistborn está siendo un éxito y está siendo el favorito de los fans en todas las webs.
So, first of all, I would like to congratulate you for all the success in the Mistborn deck building game, because it's been a great success and a fan favorite since minute one.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah, we've been really excited with how Mistborn has gone. I think we knew that was a great combination, that there is an opportunity to make a really action-packed dueling Mistborn game. That's something that Brandon has asked us for some time. We knew that John D. Clare would be a great designer for that. He's just an excellent board game designer, and he's a big Cosmere fan, so he's a great person to reach out to for that. And we knew that he would try to bring some innovation to the deck building space. I love deck building games, but a lot of deck building games end up very similar to one another, and I think this one's really unique. As a result, our goal, I think we're seeing it come into place, which is not just that this is a game that Cosmere fans are enjoying, but that actual just board game fans are checking it out and saying, hey, this is a really good game. I should go read those books. And that's always our goal.
Perfecto. Tuve la suerte de probar el juego en la Nexus y la verdad que fue increíble. Perdimos desastrosamente contra el Lord Ruler, pero fue muy divertido.
I was able to try the game at Nexus, and it was really, really fun, even if we strategically lost to Lord Ruler.
Yes, the Lord Ruler mode is definitely meant to be challenging, help you feel like Vin and the crew. But I think, I would say my favorite mode of this is still the head-to-head play. I think the one-on-one two-player game is just about perfect. I think four player is also three and four player are good, but four player, the targeting system where the target moves around, mm-hmm. that really shines. And I still think the co-op and the solo modes are fun. But I'd say the dueling mode, that's the core gameplay, and everything else has been sort of grown from there. And so to get the true experience, that's the core of it. But we're really glad that people have had a good time with solo and co-op as well. And the game's been doing really well. It's at a time when, a hobby board game is lucky to sell 10,000 copies usually. We've sold tens of thousands. We haven't been able to keep it in stock at the distributor level for more than a few days. And the reactions have been very positive. The reviews have been the best we've ever had. It's awesome. We're really excited for it. And it makes us want to keep it going and keep supporting it in the future.
Es interesante. Esa última frase ha sido muy interesante.
Yeah, definitely the last thing you told us is really, really, really interesting and promising.
Yeah, I don't think we will rush into expansion content, but we're already looking at, what you could do with it, whether you expand sort of Era 1 further or look at Era 2 in the context of a team of Mistings that therefore would have the capabilities of a Mistborn. So we're looking at that and talking to some Dragonsteel next month about some ways that we can enhance the Mistborn experience.
Genial. Como sabéis, este es un podcast dedicado a el Cosmer y Brandon Sanderson, pero aún así, me gustaría que Johnny, si puedes, nos explicases un poco sobre los proyectos fuera del Cosmer que tenéis, como Adulthood o los derivados de Superboss, porque luego ya entraremos en el Cosmer, así que si quieres darnos algunas pinceladas para que la gente los conozca.
So, this is a podcaster and this is a Cosmere podcast. We'll, of course, talk about a lot about Cosmere, but as brother-wise, you also have other projects such as Adulthood and Superboss-related games, and we'd love to know more about them before fully diving into the Cosmere.
I appreciate that. I think, you know, the game that got us started as a company was Boss Monster, so that's one that's always going to be close to our hearts. Last year, we celebrated more than 10 years of Boss Monster by releasing or by kickstarting Super Boss Monster, which is something, you know, we always knew we'd do a Super Boss Monster, and we were just waiting for the right moment. And that did really well. It made around 1.5 million on Kickstarter. The game itself is super fun. It's coming out very soon. We are at this point, I think, just a couple of months away from that being fulfilled. And it's looking great. Incidentally, Boss Monster 2, the next level, has a card, Brandon Sanderson, which is was our first Brandon reference in something we did. And I remember being delighted when he posted on Twitter years ago about that card. And he's like, oh, I like that I'm a cleric. You know, that's one of my favorite classes to play. So that was fun. So Super Boss Monsters coming very soon. And then Adulthood is a game I released last year. It was very much a passion project for me, a game that I designed about living life as an adult, deciding how to spend your time and energy, whether it's on, you know, business or creative things or service. These are questions that I ask myself in my own life a lot of the time. And so having a game that made those choices kind of a fun experience with really great silly art by Tim Brierley. All of that was a very fun game to work on. I highly recommend it. I think I don't think it's going to win a bunch of game design awards, but I think it's a really fun game. And I think it's one that almost anybody can enjoy. If you could get your non-gamer friends to play it, you might have to explain the rules, but I think they'll enjoy it. So yeah, Adulthood is one that I recommend checking out.
He tenido la suerte de probarlo y creo que cuanto más mayor eres, más daño te hace el juego a ti.
I've been able to try the game, and I think that when the older you are, the more it hurts you as a person.
Yes, it's accurate. It's accurate to real life.
Yeah, exactly. Antes de entrar a preguntarte sobre juegos del Cosmere, me gustaría saber cómo habéis vivido desde Brotherwise el pasar de ser una compañía más o menos pequeña, que podríamos llamar, supongo, indie, a ser ahora la compañía que hace juegos del Cosmere. ¿Cómo os ha afectado a la empresa y a los trabajadores?
So, before transitioning to fully getting into the Cosmere, I'd like to know, how was the transition from being a small company to working with Brandon and for the Cosmere, and how has it changed both the company and the employees?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Brotherwise certainly started as a very small company. You know, when back in 2012, it was just me and my brother, and it was that way for years. So we would, you know, the second game we made, Unearth, was submitted to us by outside designers. We've always worked with outside artists and things like that. But for a very long time, it was just the two of us. And then a few years ago, we hired our first full-time employee, Hayden Dillard, who is now our development lead. We hired him right out of college. He helped us with playtesting, did a great job, and, you know, has gone on to do development and even design for a number of our games. About a year after that, we hired Jillian Ross to help with marketing. Last year, we hired Matt Melendez to help with our community and our operations. So it's been a very gradual process. One of the easiest ways for a company like ours to go out of business is to hire too many people too fast. I was just talking to one of our team members who was describing a company kind of like ours, where they got a lot of success, hired 24 people, and then had to lay off all but seven of them. And that is a situation we want to avoid. But we've managed to grow really nicely by working with a lot of freelancers and contractors, people who are experts at what they do. And when we looked at doing the RPG, one of the things we told Brandon was, we are not an RPG company. You know, we've done a lot of RPG adjacent things. We believe we have the creative leadership to be able to do this, but we don't, that's not who we are right now. However, it's like artists, when we go out and recruit artists for our games, we can find the best people in the industry, bring them into the project. And most of the best people are freelance, are independent contractors. And that's who we went out and got. And I think Brandon believed us because he has taken Dragonsteel from a small company to a really meaningfully sized company. He has done things on his own that people previously told him you needed to be a big publisher to do. And so I think he knew that with the right people, a smaller company could punch way above its weight class.
Bueno, creo que estáis haciendo un gran trabajo y quiero decir que creo que parte de ello es gracias a Gillian. Creo que hay que darle el mérito que se merece a Gillian porque es increíble, está atenta a toda. Nos ha salvado la vida muchas veces.
So I think you're doing a really great job, and I also think part of that really, really great job and is from someone who's not usually acknowledged as much as she should be, who's Gillian. And so I would like to acknowledge the great work she does and also the amount of times she we've been saved.
Gillian is saves me every day. She when she came on, you know, I had been doing the whole kind of marketing and community building side of our business while also trying to do art direction and game design and everything. And she's been able to focus on that completely. And she came with great experience. But this was, I think, in some ways her first chance to really like step up to a leadership role. We originally brought her on as a marketing designer, a role that kind of combined marketing and some graphic design. Last year, she got promoted to marketing manager, and she is our marketing lead. These days, she manages her own budget. She comes to me for advice and mentorship, but she's running the show, and that's been really cool to see. I mean, that's one of the neatest things about running a business like this is being able to work with such great people and people who do a better job at what they're doing than you would do. And so it really, it's a big force multiplier. And I've really gotten a lot of fulfillment from seeing all the really talented artists and writers and designers and editors that I get to work with every day now. Who are all just experts at what they do. And I've learned so much from them, even as I'm supposed to be kind of the one in charge.
Estamos grabando esto el 23 de enero de 2025. Un día muy curioso porque se juntan dos cosas. La primera es que tú has publicado un vídeo con una cosa que a mí me gusta llamar la pizarra mágica. Y hoy se ha anunciado que Devir será la empresa encargada de traducir o de traer los juegos del Cosmere RPG y de Mistborn en español y en catalán.
So we're filming this on January 23rd. They were lucky seems to be on our side because you just posted a video showing what I call the magic board, showing a load of stuff. And also today, David announced both the Spanish and the Catalan translations for Cosmere RPG and Mistborn deck building game.
Awesome. Yes. really excited about that. Very, very great, you know, strong partners. When I don't know, you probably might remember that a few months ago we posted online asking the Spanish-speaking fan community who we should partner with, and we heard a lot of great names, and there are multiple good people that we could have partnered with, but far and away Devir was at the top of people's request list as the logical people to work with. And so that's it was very cool to be able to take that to fruition. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, the vision board. This is something that I have on my wall. I did it once a few years ago just to like be able to make a social media post. It was like a fake vision board. And then I left it up because I was too lazy to bring it down. And I realized, I was like, oh, this is nice. I like this. It makes me feel inspired to be able to look up at this thing. It's like right there from my desk and to get a sense of, you know, that vision for the future. And so I feel like vision board is this very like cheesy corporate or silly term. But you know, I like magic board better. I'll have to call it that.
Luego hablamos de la pizarra mágica, pero claro, como somos un podcast en castellano, creo que tendría que haber alguna pregunta relacionada con el tema. Y sé que hay muchos contratos de confidencialidad y demás, pero no sé si nos podrías explicar un poco cómo funcionan estas negociaciones o cómo funciona el poder traer juegos a otro idioma.
So we'll get to the magic board a bit later, but we right now would love to ask, there's a lot of NDAs signed, really surely, but can you tell us about the process of publishing Brotherwise Cosmere games in a different language and through a different company and how that process works? And what do you know about also the translation of the games?
Yeah, this is... we have a lot of experience working with international publishing partners on translations and localizations. This is something we've done since the first years of Boss Monster, and it's very standard throughout the industry because board games are a very locally driven hobby. You need to have somebody locally to be able to promote the game, and of course to translate it and everything. We made Spanish our very first priority for this. This was something. We knew the Spanish-speaking fan base is second only to the English-speaking fan base in size and passion. Maybe not second in passion, maybe first in passion. And for sure. So this was the first one of those relationships that we made and that we figured out. And it is, you know. The main things are, you know, we still have approval rights over how things are being done. A couple of fun details I can share. One is that our good friend Tamara, also known as Isandra, she is already meeting with the team there to talk about making sure that terms and concepts are translated correctly. So she's already participating in that process. Another fun thing is that in our books, we have these sections that are created by Marie Seeberger, who people know as La Marie. And these are very much handwritten to be these kind of bespoke pieces. And we actually have just turned her handwritten language into a bespoke font. So that we can get it translated. We're putting the special characters, the tildes and things like that in here to make sure that that's all translated properly. And she'll also be taking a look at all of those to make sure she's very happy with how those turn out. So yeah, this is something that we're, from the beginning, you know, we knew we would provide at the very least Spanish translated PDFs for RPG backers. But once we get in market, once we're selling physical books, we want to make sure that, you know, that's still some time away. It's a slow process to get all of these things out there. But once books are sold in stores, we wanted to make sure that they're all properly translated and ready to go.
Fantástico. Gracias por la respuesta. Pasemos a la vision board o a la pizarra mágica, como te gusta más llamarla. Pero claro, es que hemos visto cosas muy interesantes allí. Hemos visto una cosa llamada True Desolation, Stormlight True Desolation, que mi entender es que esto antes era el Epic Stormlight.
Sí.
No sé si puedes explicarnos algo sobre esto. Sabemos que se supone que es una especie de wargame o algo así, pero no sé si nos puedes dar más detalles.
So let's move to the vision board, or as you've liked to call it, the magic board. We've seen a Stormlight translation. We understand it's the Epic Stormlight that was announced some time ago that was kind of a war game. Can you tell us anything about it?
Yeah. So one thing I should say is that Stormlight True Desolation is not a name that's completely final yet. It may be the final name, but we have to get Dragon Seal approval for that. We had a couple of other name ideas that we're putting in front of them, but at least one of them would be a spoiler for Book 5, and so probably we won't go with that name. But it is a very cool project. This is the game. I think everybody's number one request was for the RPG, but I think the number two request was for an epic Stormlight war game along the lines of Star Wars Rebellion or the One Ring, War of the Rings. And that is, those are a couple of our very favorite games, especially my brother, Chris. He is more of an expert at big, crunchy games. I tend to go a little lighter in my gameplay, but I still love a really good big war game. And I believe this is news that it is John D. Clare, once again, who is doing the design on this game. And he's done a phenomenal job. Hayden, our development lead, is also working very closely on it. We have been working on this, I want to say, for 2 years, but it's been a long time. Certainly the last year, we've been very actively working on it. We're playtesting it. We're continuing to playtest it this year. It's hard to playtest a game that, you know, it's hours long. this is a big one, the mechanics are playing out very nicely. You know, you are playing on a full map of the world of Roshar. You are controlling Odium's forces or Dalinar's coalition. You're contending with the different factors in the war. You're moving armies. You're moving champions. You are being able to tap into everything you would expect to be a part of a game like that. So it's all really, really exciting and something that I would love to talk more about, but I think we have to save some of that excitement for when we reveal more next year. Because one thing we want to avoid is having too many Kickstarters back to back to back. So I think 2026 would be the earliest we could expect something like that to hit Kickstarter. But it's also one I think we can probably finish more quickly than other projects we've had.
Lo entiendo perfectamente. Gracias por lo que nos has contado.
It's totally understandable and really thank you for what you just told us.
Hay un en la pizarra también abajo en pequeñito tenemos el Shards of Creations, del cual sabemos que sale este año. Me alegro que no se haya retrasado, pero apenas sabemos nada del juego.
So in the board there's also a Shards of Creation. It's still coming this year, but we barely know anything about it. So is there anything also we could know about the game?
Sure. We actually ran demos of Shards of Creation at Dragonsteel Nexus. So some people have had a chance to play the latest version of the game, though the art was complete placeholder. So we're still figuring out some of the details there. This is still one that we have a big product approval meeting with Dragonsteel next month. And this is a game that we've had going for a while. We have announced it a couple of times. So I don't think it's a question of whether this game will come out, but when. And making sure that we're currently on track to make it happen by the end of this year, but we'll see how that goes. And it is a trick-taking game. So like some classic poker card games or some more recent kind of hobby specialty trick-taking games that exist, where the different shards are the suits. What we're looking at right now is making the game launch with 8 and save 8 of them for the future. There are some that we don't know a lot about, right? Like Valor or Reason. So this is a chance to focus on ones that we do know more about. And yeah, the gameplay is more approachable than most of our games. This is something you could play with just about anyone. And we think it's very thematic because the numbers tie into the meaningful numbers of the Cosmere, and the powers tie into what the shard's intent is. So it's a pretty cool one, but that one won't be a Kickstarter. It would be the kind of thing that we release directly at, you know, Dragonsteel Nexus or on dragonsteelbooks.com or in specialty game stores.
Muy bien. Creo que va a sustituir el uno que siempre me llevo de viaje. Me voy a llevar a partir de ahora el Shards of Creation.
Yeah, I think it's going to take the place of the Uno set I'm always bringing trips. So now it's going to be Shards of Creation.
Yes, it would be a good replacement for that.
Hay otro nombre que aparece en la pizarra, que es el Plot Weaver, que por lo que sabemos es el sistema de juego del Cosmer RPG. No sé si que este nombre aparezca implica que queréis desarrollar más este sistema y que otras empresas o otros juegos pueden hacer uso del sistema, o cuál es el plan.
So another name we see in the board is Plot Weaver, the system for the Cosmere RPG. We understand you want to keep on developing it, and it's the idea that you develop more games and keep on working with the system and offer it so people can create their own games? Or is there a different idea for it?
That's the idea. We want people to... We think we've got a really good system here. And we think it's unique enough to deserve to exist in other places beyond the Cosmere RPG. A good analogy for this would be the Star Wars role-playing game by Fantasy Flight Games, which a couple of our key designers, Andrew Fisher and Max Brook, worked on. That was turned into a generic system called Genesis. And Genesis was that way you could play. I've used Genesis to play kind of superhero games or like avatar bending type games. But that was never really opened up to the same extent. What we want people to be able to do is take that Plot Weaver system and use it for whatever they want. We have noticed that it works really well for systems or situations where there might be people with different abilities and different backgrounds. Because it was built for the Cosmere, where we have to account for many different magic systems and we have to account for different technology levels, it is really good for situations where kind of worlds collide and there are crossovers, or you want to have something that has both magic and science fiction together. And we think it offers something unique there. I can tell you, everybody on the team has a different version of Plot Weaver they'd like to make. And so the trick there is kind of figuring out how we want to package that up and kind of hand it over to people. But it is our plan, and Dragonsteel has been supportive of the plan to have that be our open game system. The Cosmere RPG is where we expect to kind of have the bigger projects and make the money, but we want people to be able to make their own Plot Weaver systems, you know, and be able to monetize that, be able to do some of the things that people have been able to do with other open licenses, like the original D20 OGL, or things like Powered by the Apocalypse and other open systems.
Me parece muy buena idea.
I think it's a really, really good idea.
Thanks.
Ahora que estamos hablando del sistema del Cosmere RPG y del Cosmere RPG en sí, hemos hablado muy poquito de esto y creo que es un buen momento para hacerte un par de preguntas sobre el tema. Se supone que este año recibiremos la parte del Archivo de las Tormentas, del Cosmere RPG, y al año siguiente la parte de Mistborn. ¿Estáis preocupados por por cuando podamos combinar ambos juegos que no se sienta desbalanceado?
So let's move to making a few questions about the RPG. This year we're getting the Russia part of the RPG, and next year we're supposedly getting the Mistborn part. Is there any worries or concerns that when you play both together, they might feel unbalanced in one way or another?
That is the whole point of the system, is to try to make sure that they work together. So it isn't the Stormlight RPG and the Mistborn RPG. It's the Cosmere RPG, Mistborn campaign setting, and Stormlight campaign setting. And so from the beginning, we knew that our challenge would be to balance these different magic systems and different technology levels and different worlds in a way that works. Now, there are in-world things that aren't 100% balanced, right? If you did shard blades perfectly balanced, they wouldn't be as powerful as they are in the books. A fully powered up Mistborn or Ferrochemist or Fourth Ideal Radiant, it's hard for anything else in the Cosmere to be as powerful as those things. That's one of the first things Brandon told us. He's like, pretty much nobody in the Cosmere wants to go up against one of those. But one of the key things we did is by making the heroic paths for characters be something that is really important. We built a system where narratively and even mechanically, an inspiring speech can have as much impact on the story as using, some cool surge binding power. And because I think that's true to the books, I think that's true to these stories. Because of that, that flattens out some of the other power level disparities. And then we also take advantage of a leveling system to do this. That, by the rules of this system, Vin is someone who leveled up very quickly and was, before too long, higher level than most of the Mistings around her. So it's not just that she was a Mistborn, it's also that she gained XP very quickly because she was the main character of the books and she was special. So those things are all in our minds and all part of the way that we've built the games. But we're doing, we've been Mistborn playtesting for a long time now, close to a year, and so we have a good sense of how these systems balance, and part of the playtesting is putting Stormlight and Mistborn characters next to each other and seeing how they feel together.
He podido probar la beta de la mini campaña del First Steps y tengo muchas ganas de ver cómo se siente el cambiar de planeta y de tipo de sistema al de Mistborn.
So I've been able to try the First Steps part of the campaign, and I'm really excited to see how changing worlds feels and playing as also different characters.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the fun here, and something that's interesting, kind of worth mentioning, is in the actual stories, we have Stormlight 5 kind of ends up without sharing spoilers, from an era perspective, it leads into era 2 of Mistborn. And so when we have Worldhopper stories, that's really probably the beginning of Worldhopper stories. There were people Worldhopping before that, of course. But if we were doing a Worldhopper campaign, if I were running a Worldhopper campaign in my own home game, which I am, it has people who have come from Roshar and then people who are in Era 2 of Mistborn. And that ends up feeling very, like, the power levels and balance, everything feels quite nice there, because Twinborn line up really nicely with Knights Radiant in terms of power level and capabilities. With the understanding that once you start to get, living shard plate and things like that, it gets a little bit trickier for a Twinborn to keep up. But even so, two 18th level characters in our system are going to be pretty fairly matched against each other, regardless of what their levels are in.
Habéis dicho varias veces que que el Cosmer RPG será un sistema vivo, porque irá con los libros de Brandon, pero claro, con los sistemas más antiguos, ¿cómo haréis para seguir alimentando que no se quede anticuado o que no quede muerto por ejemplo, la primera parte de Roshar?
So you've said that the Cosmere RPG will be a living game that will be evolving with Brandon's books. But how do you plan on keeping the older systems alive as the story progresses? So, for example, the first part of Roshar or the older systems that go getting behind?
Yeah, I think one answer to that is, you know, you're always playing... we always want to support any era that people can play in. Right now, we don't have a lot of lore support, for example, for a game played during the old Desolations. But you could play that. You know, if you're willing to make up some of your lore, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. We present the rules to play in Era 1 or Era 2 of Mistborn, and we expect even once Ghostbloods is out in the world, and once we support that with playable content, there will still be people wanting to play in Era 1 or Era 2. Our Mistborn Legacy adventure plays in both. It will always still kind of be that one system. And yes, as you advance in technology, some things change a bit. In the same way that shard blades are just more powerful than some other weapons, guns are more powerful than, you know, crossbows. But again, we've built it from the ground up to account for some of those differences and to understand that at the point that those come into play, everybody can get access to them. And that they're still not more powerful than shard blades.
Desde luego. Vale, ahora hay la pregunta que entiendo que mucha gente se está haciendo es, después de Mistborn, ¿qué va a venir? Pero llámame paranoico, pero en tu pizarra, en 2027, aparece una ilustración muy famosa de Hoyt y también aparecen unos cuantos pins de Saltamundos. Entonces, claro, mi conclusión es que en 2027 quizá podamos tener el módulo de los Saltamundos. No sé si es muy pronto para decirlo, pero bueno.
So you might be able to call me a paranoid, but people is also wondering what's going to be after what's announced already. And in 2027, we can see a really famous Hoyt picture in your magic board, also accompanied by a few Worldhopper pins, Worldhopper character pins. So does this point to the Worldhopper expansion coming in 2027, or a Worldhopper themed expansion?
I would say I also am curious to see where we go next. There are still some decisions that we need from Brandon on what he's prepared to explore next and how deep. But 2027 is around the right ballpark of when we would be looking at those things. I will say, under any circumstances, 2027, we have product plans for. We've been working with Sean Tompkin on, who's the kind of preeminent designer of solo RPGs, on solo rules for the Cosmere RPG. So that is something that could be available as soon as 2027. We are looking at our big adventure hardcover campaigns. We start with Stonewalkers in Stormlight, then we move to Mistborn Legacy, and then our current plan is that we'd like to do another Stormlight adventure that's higher level, and 2027 could be a good time frame for that. So all that plus venturing into Worldhopper play, or Warbreaker, or Elantris, or all of the above, those are all a little bit in motion, but I will say that we've done some preliminary design work for all of those worlds, and we'll continue to do so. So the for example, our action system is at least partially based from the very beginning on making sure that Elantrian magic will be balanced out partially by taking longer to draw than other things where you could just run up and smack somebody.
Debo decir que yo estuve en la presentación del Cosmere RPG en la Nexus y que el aplauso más grande se lo llevó Warbreaker.
So I must say I was in the Cosmere RPG presentation at Nexus, and the biggest round of applause was given to Warbreaker.
It was. Yes, that was interesting to see. I don't think I would have predicted that. It's obviously these are all wonderful books, and that one brings a lot of very cool things. So it surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I think that's one where probably what will really determine what we do next is where Brandon is in his writing schedule, right? So he wants to go back to both Warbreaker and Elantris. And so the question is, with those books, do we want to release something if he's a year or two away from making a whole new book that we then want to, you know, retroactively put into the game? So that will determine what happens there. If he wasn't going back to those worlds, we could write either one of those books today and have it out to you in a year or two. But, we'll see exactly where we go there. But we've already put a lot of thought into how Awakening would work, how Eondor would work, and even how some of the things like soul stamping, forgery would work. So,
yeah, no te voy a robar mucho más tiempo. Vamos acabando. Una de las cosas que más le puede interesar a la gente que viene de fuera del mundo del RPG es la parte canónica de las historias. Y sabemos que Stonewalkers es canónica y en principio Mistborn Legacy será canónica. Y de Stonewalkers, de hecho, sabemos bastantes cosas, pero no sabemos nada de Mistborn Legacy. No sé si nos puedes contar alguna cosa.
We're about to finish. And one thing people's concerned about is lore and canon. So we know both the stories that are planned are canonical, and especially around Mistborn Legacy, we have mainly no information whatsoever about it, or we know little things. So is there anything we could get to know about it, or is there anything you can tell us?
Sure. I mean, one thing I will say is that these are canonical stories that we have worked with Brandon and Dan. The ideas for both Stonewalkers and Mistborn Legacy came to us from Brandon and Dan, and then we've worked with them and adapted them. And, you know, in some cases we've said, oh, we'd like to change this part of the story to make it a better game. Do you agree? And they've said yes. Occasionally they've said no, but mostly they've said yes. So that is all true. It's also the case that these aren't going to be required reading, right? These aren't going to be telling essential stories. These are filling in little interesting details or telling stories that exist in parallel to what's happening, and maybe have some cool Easter eggs. But I don't think people who aren't RPG players are going to be frustrated to know that these exist. And if you are, you can always just buy the book and flip through it and understand the story.
Creo que es lo que va a pasar.
Yeah,
I think it's what will happen.
Yeah, we've got beautiful these. It is not a. I don't think anyone will feel that they've wasted their money. Any Cosmere fan to have a book like this and be able to flip through it and just look at all of these illustrations and understand, oh, that's what these things look like. Oh, this is so cool. This is adding to my vision for this world and what's happening in it. So, I can give you a couple of tantalizing tidbits about Mistborn Legacy. It tells a story that moves back and forth between time. So you're actually playing, if you're a player in Mistborn Legacy, you have two characters, and they have some connection to one another, but they're two different character sheets and you're advancing them separately. Is there anything else I could tell about it? It involves the Mistborn Era 1 part of the story takes place shortly after the first book. So it is a tumultuous period where there are different factions vying for power. And this in particular connects to a rogue inquisitor. So that's, I think, as much as I can say. But it's a very neat story that really benefits from Dan Wells being a lifelong role-playing game fan and bringing ideas that are very innovative in terms of the actual role-playing game experience, being able to do things in the first era and see the consequences of your actions in Era 2, I think are very cool. And so it's... I'm a big Star Wars fan as well, especially was when I was younger. And you know, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was like the perfect example of a game where you had meaningful choices. It was canonical. You know, the exact choices you made varied by game, but sort of the overall existence of Darth Revan and things like that. Those are things that influenced canon afterward. And that's very much my goal with these adventures, is to have something that kind of feels like that in terms of how well integrated it is into the story, how meaningful it is, and how true it is to the world. Like, we really want these to feel like you are doing the kind of things that the heroes in the books would do. So, and we're very grateful. Both times I received the first outlines from Brandon and Dan, I was blown away by how audacious they were, how many toys they were giving us to play with. So that's been really, really cool. So I'll tell you more in the future, but there's some things, you know, new things, new ways to use some of the existing magic that I would not have expected to show up like this. So pretty cool.
El hype que me acaba de dar ahora, o sea, es increíble.
The hype you just created is incredible.
Awesome. By the way, I should mention this is an early prototype. That's why it doesn't have the gold foil. I reviewed actual prototypes from the factory for the handbook just a week or two ago. We've got a new one coming that corrects some things we weren't happy with, but we're moving along very well there. We're in kind of the very final stages of pre-production for all of the Stormlight books, and we'll be in production very shortly after the factories get back from celebrating Lunar New Year. Then it's just, it takes a long time for everything to get produced and ship. But we'll have the digital releases of things a couple of months ahead of time to give people some excitement. And my team in the meantime is all working on Mistborn, except for me and the graphic designer, Gordon, and the editor, Laura. We're pretty much all focused now on Mistborn content. We have a full manuscript of the Mistborn handbook, first drafted. We have the first draft of the Mistborn World Guide, and work is now underway on Mistborn Legacy. The progress is really good. Everything's on schedule, and everybody's working really, really hard.
Necesito ya estar jugando al juego de rol. Vale, no te voy a robar más tiempo. Como hemos dicho, intentaríamos hacer algo así como 45 minutos, pero tengo muchas cosas que preguntarte. No te he preguntado por los artistas, no te he preguntado por un montón de cosas, por los libros, que pude tocarlos en la Nexus y son increíbles. Así que lo dejamos aquí, pero no sé si quisieras tú decir algo que no te hayamos preguntado y que tú quieras decir, ostras, pues quiero hablar sobre esto un momento y nos despedimos.
So we're just about to end. It's been 45 minutes as we agreed because time was a little bit in a constraint. We've not spoken about artists and many, many other things. There are lots of questions we've kept. So we'd like to know if there's anything that you would like to tell that we've not asked today.
No, I think this is... We'll just have to talk again, right? There's always more to talk about, and I love talking about this stuff. I think Something I believe that fans have noticed is that the people working on this team really love it, really care, are real fans. And it was, you know, during one of Brandon's addresses during Nexus, I think it was the spoiler Q&A, he was talking about the recent Dune movies and how that's what you get when you get somebody working on it who really cares, and how that's what he's waiting for, you know, Mistborn and Stormlight movies. And I really, I hope in the back of his mind is that that's what he's gotten with this team and this project, because we really, really do care. And while any company in the world would have wanted to be able to work on this, and some of the biggest RPG companies in the world were knocking on Brandon's door, he went with the smaller, scrappier team that he knew would put the most love into it. So it's been a real pleasure working on it. And we are very committed to keeping this going for years to come. That's why we split the first Kickstarter into 2 years, because we wanted to, at the very least, make sure that out of the gate, you know, you had the initial excitement of the Kickstarter and then the excitement of getting things for the first time. And then a year later, just as you were starting to, you know, forget about the RPG and move on to something else, we get you hooked back in with Mistborn, and it just becomes part of your life. So as we move into more Stormlight content in the future and Worldhopper content beyond that, and some extra, some Plotweaver stuff for people who really love RPGs, we hope to keep people busy for a long time.
Muchas gracias. Como tú has dicho, espero que nos podamos ver dentro de un tiempo para seguir hablando, porque la verdad que es un placer hablar contigo, porque bueno, nos explicas un montón de cosas y nos cuidas mucho a los fans.
Thank you so much. And as you said, we'd love to talk again, because you really take care of the fans and tell us loads and loads of things.
Thanks. It's a pleasure talking to you. It's been fun because I have just enough Spanish to understand most of your questions, and I start to like want to respond, but not enough Spanish to answer in Spanish.
Más o menos lo que me pasa a mí, pero al revés.
More or less, it's same the other way.
Oh, I don't know. But well, thank you so much. Good talking to you. We'll have to talk again soon. And yeah, I sometime later this year, we'll be able to share some more progress on Mistborn. Right now, we're still very early on the art commissions for Mistborn, but that'll be exciting to show as we approach Nexus 2025 and beyond. So.
Pues gracias, Johnny. Gracias, Mario. Y ya sabéis, como dice nuestro querido oyente Kelsier, siempre habrá otro capítulo de podcast más. Hasta el siguiente. Bye.